All right, so the stampede of the elephants in the room continues in Europe. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi faces a major test today in Parliament with a vote on the Italian national budget. The vote will show whether the Berlusconi government has lost its majority. Berlusconi has survived dozens of confidence votes in the past. He's dismissed rumors in the past week that he will resign, but Italy's debt and the Eurozone's need for some sort of sense that Italy can be handled may spell a different outcome for Berlusconi this time. Joe Nocera joins us, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, John.
So
good morning.
Good morning to you. I mentioned the elephants in the room. In the case of Greece, everybody knew that Greece was going to default one way or another. In this case, everybody knows, even though they may not be talking about it, that Europe cannot bail out Italy under any circumstances. It just doesn't add up. So where does that leave us?
In a pretty bad place. Remember September 2008?
Yep.
Remember how the contagion spread from one firm to the next to the next, and finally everybody thought even Goldman Sachs was going to go down? That's what's going on in Europe. This is contagion. This is panic. And it's very, very scary. So Greece is still mired in its problems. And every time the Greek government can't get its act together and make the decisions, the painful decisions that need to be made to get a bailout, it spreads. And Italy, you know, with its debt is 120% of GDP. Berlusconi is, you know, basically as a leader is discredited. Every time there are rumors he's going to resign, the market suddenly leaps. And there's not a really good answer to the Italy problem. And, you know, what happens if Italy defaults? Then it goes to Spain. And I don't know if you noticed this, but apparently today Sarkozy in France announced an austerity budget because he's worried that France's AAA credit rating is in jeopardy. So we're in a very, very scary place right now.
You know, in this period, even in contrast with 2008, although not much, we're talking with Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. You know, you've got the accelerated news cycle, but you also have the accelerated trading cycle in the sense that derivatives permit you to make bets that countries are going to go down. You can bet on debt and have an almost immediate impact on the interest rate that government has to accept to borrow. How does that complicate the ability of policymakers to intervene?
Well, it just shortens the cycle. It makes it really hard. Credit default swaps, the spreads on credit default swaps in Italy widen almost by the moment. Bond prices go up. There's a I don't know exactly why this is true, but the market has in its mind that if bonds yields rise to 7%, and they're now in the high sixes on Italian bonds, it will mean that they have to restructure and are in danger of defaulting on their bonds and will need a bailout. And we're very close to that. What credit default swaps do is they basically allow the investment community and the political leaders to see how, in real-time snapshots, how afraid the market is of their situation. And the market, you know, you may not like it, but the market has an enormous amount of power here because they're the ones who hold the bonds, you know, and they're the ones who demand the interest payments. And you know, in a case of Italy's, at some point, the yields get so high that Italy can't roll over debt.
It just seems that in crises like this, and remembering 2008, it was Hank Paulson and the U.S. government that sort of stepped in with a consortium of, all right, folks, let's settle down here and solve this. That seems to be very, very difficult because when the Greek haircut was announced in the bailout deal more than a week ago, the market was really reassured when they understood what the calculable loss could possibly be. But then the moment Greece said, all right, we're going to have a referendum on this, it was all sort of up for grabs once more. And China said, we're not investing anything until you get this Greek thing solved. It seems like China can look at the credit default swaps and go, hey, look, this is reality, folks. Don't tell them. I don't care what you're telling me.
Well, the great Martin Wolf at the Financial Times, who has written, I think, the most powerful columns about this over the last 2 years, makes this point over and over and over again. When they created the euro, they did not create the political institutions that had the power to control economies. And so you have individual political institutions in these countries with a shared currency. So they're all tethered to the currency, but they all have their own politics. And there is no central body that can, like Hank Paulson, you know, who can take the bankers in the room and say, you're taking this TARP money whether you want to or not. There's nobody in Europe who can do that. So they have these meetings where they're negotiating, where heads of states are negotiating with banks over what kind of haircut you'll take on Greece. And then you're trying to persuade the Greeks to go along. And then Papandreou, not stupidly, I think, says, well, I think our people should get to decide whether they want these austerity measures or not. And everything blows up. So a lot of the problem, or part of the problem, is there's no institution that is enabled to deal with this crisis. So that's why you see this thing lurch almost every 24 hours as politicians and political bodies change their minds.
And Neil Ferguson on this program last week said the Chinese might be able to do this, but it's not their style and they're not stepping up. It's akin to what happened around the turn of the 20th century.
I think that's right. And also akin to the turn of the 20th century, I happen to think that what is going to come out of this is a new world order financially, where China has and Brazil and Russia accrue enormous financial power by the time this is over. And America and Europe especially, but to a lesser extent, America become less powerful, you know, financially as a result of this.
And is that something that could happen in a year? Is that something we'll look back on 5 years from now?
I mean, I think it's more like you look back on this 5 to 10 years from now and you say, boy, that was the moment when everything changed. And, you know, China, there's just no way China's going to step up with the kind of money that is needed to bail out all of Europe. They're just not going to do it. This is Europe's problem. Europe has to solve it. And Europe, unfortunately, doesn't have the money to solve it. Ultimately, the banks are going to take huge haircuts. And ultimately, sovereign governments are going to have to shore up their banks because most of them are, if not insolvent now, close to insolvent.
Jonas Arra, you and I are old enough to remember the Latin American debt crisis. Maybe the question would be to find out how much the Brazilians are smiling right about now at what's going on in Europe. Jonas Arra, op-ed columnist for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.